But let's start in 1 Corinthians 12:12, because this is the foundation I'm laying that's going to get to the question of what is the heart of the body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one, but has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, constitute one body, so it is with Messiah. For it was by one Spirit that we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. For indeed the body is not one part, but many. This sounds a little contradictory, yet think about it. You have many parts, but they function together. So here we see Shaul talking about the body of Messiah. Us, individual in nature, individual in thought, yet being part of something much bigger than us. Believers have a unity like that of a body. Indeed, they are parts of such a body, the body of Messiah. All members of Messiah's body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, have their places determined by God and have appropriate functions. Some people call these ministries. These functions which they should find and develop, trusting God for empowerment by the Holy Spirit. They should appreciate, not envy other ministries and gifts. The purpose of the gifts is not self-aggrandizement, but building up the whole body in love. What is the purpose of the body of Messiah but to, in essence, bring us into the kingdom of God? Shaul continues with this analogy of the body of Messiah in verse 15. If the foot says, I'm not the hand, so I'm not part of the body. Have we experienced any feet in our life in the body of Messiah? That doesn't make it stop being part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I'm not part of the body, that doesn't make it stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If it were all hearing, how could it smell? Shaul conveys that through each of us are individuals, that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. He further conveys that we are not all the same either. Or are we to be the same in this body? He's using different body parts that have different functions to further substantiate his premise. So when we read in verse 18, but as it is, God arranged each of the parts in the body exactly as he wanted it. In other words, we are not a Picasso. Anybody understand Picasso? Picasso was an impressionist. He sort of saw the world in a much different view, to where you had heads turned one way, body parts turned another. That's known as impressionism. We are not Picassos. Now, if they were all just one part, he writes in verse 19, where would the body be? But as it is, there are indeed many parts, yet just one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or the head to the feet, I don't need you. We are intricately woven into this body. Yet sometimes there are conflicts, differences of opinion, personalities that don't gel together. You're keeping in mind you're still in the same body. I remember an analogy. I don't know if I'm going to get it all right or not. Well, I can forgive that person, but I won't forget. And then the analogy is, well, what happens when you're both in the kingdom? What happens then? You can't bring this animosity, this division with you. In other words, it may invalidate your ticket into the kingdom. So within the body, we see many conflicts. Keeping in mind, we have a nice hardwood floor. So I can tell you the one thing that won't occur in this congregation. There won't be an argument over the color of the carpet. So Adonai has placed each part of the body, each person into the body with specific gifts, specific capabilities to benefit the entire body. When you become part of this body of Messiah, there is no insignificant part, no insignificant individual. No one could say, well, I'm only the appendix. The appendix is there for a reason. Trust me, you know about it more when it's getting ready to burst. And that's a warning sign if you think about it. Think of it like the overheating gauge on your engine. It's there, but you really don't see it until it actually comes into play. So in verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be less important turn out to be all the more necessary. I go back to the appendix. It's all the more necessary because it's a warning sign that when it's flaring up, you need to remove it or else you will die. And upon the body parts which we consider less dignified, we bestow greater dignity. And the parts that aren't attractive are the ones we make as attractive as we can. While our attractive parts have no need for such treatment, indeed God has put the body together in such a way that He gives greater dignity to the parts that lack it. So if you think you're the appendix, you're greater in God's body than you think you are. So in verse 25, He says that there will be no disagreements within the body. We haven't reached this place yet. So that there will be no disagreements within the body, but rather all the parts will be equally concerned for all the others. Unfortunately, like I said, I don't think we're there yet. We might be getting there, but like I said, carpet, doctrinal differences, these all come into play. To where when you look at the body of Messiah, just as you look at the body of Messiah in the Messianic movement, we're just a smaller version of what's occurring in the greater body. The Messianic movement is not truly unified. The church itself is not truly unified. The vision that I've had since 2016, one voice, one message. We have to be able to speak with one voice conveying that same message. Ultimately, that message is about the kingdom, but that's a sermon for another day. So in reality, the body is unified to where when part of the body is experiencing physical pain, the entire body is affected. This is true of the body of Messiah. I don't know if I can diagnose what we're experiencing, but I will provide a summation at the end to give you an idea of what the cause of the affliction is. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12. Thus, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts share its happiness. A rising tide lifts all ships in the body of Messiah. If one suffers, we all sink. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. Yet is that truly what's going on today? We still are confronted with covetousness and envy, strife. Technically, we've overcome those, but we only overcome them through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. There is this old nature that still resides in us. Yet we have to suppress, subordinate that old nature and let the new nature, the body part of Messiah, rise up in us. Verse 27. Now you together constitute the body of Messiah. You. Everyone in this room who accepted Yeshua as Messiah, you are part of the body. And individually you are parts of it. Verse 28. And God has placed in the Messianic community the first emissaries, second prophets, third teachers, then those who do works of miracles and the gifts of healing, those with the ability to help, those skilled in administration, and those who speak in various tongues. Not all are emissaries, are they? He writes in verse 29. Not all are prophets, are they? Or teachers, or miracle workers? Then he concludes in verses 30 and 31. Not all have gifts of healing. Not all speak in tongues. Not all interpret. Do they? Eagerly seek the gifts. But now I will show you the best way of all. And this brings us into chapter 13. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in chapter 13. But let me share this. One gifting may be more sought after than others. Yet just because you have not been equipped with it does not make you any less a member of the body than those who have been gifted with it. And yet Shaul encourages you to eagerly seek the better gifts, from whom Adonai, of course, provides. However, remember, he is the one who determines who receives what gifting. Do not despise what you have, but eagerly pursue more of what he has to offer. So throughout this body analogy that Shaul is conveying, there are many parts of the body that have been mentioned here, yet one part specifically he did not talk about, the heart. Most specifically, what or who is the heart of the body of Messiah? So in order to understand the heart, we need to understand the heart. The heart has been given in our own bodies and has a specific function. I'm going to get a little wonky here. That is technical. I'm going to get my nerd on, so to speak. The heart pumps blood with a rhythm determined by a group of pacemaking cells in the sinoatrial node. These generate a current that causes contraction of the heart traveling through the atrioventricular node and along the conduction system of the heart. Have I lost anybody yet? Trust me, I have a visual. The heart receives blood low in oxygen from the systemic circulation, which enters the right atrium from the superior and inferior venae cavae and passes to the right ventricle. From here, it is pumped into the pulmonary circulation through the lungs, where it receives oxygen and gives off carbon dioxide. Oxygenated blood then returns to the left atrium, passes through the left ventricle, and is pumped out throughout the aorta to the systemic circulation, which is used and metabolized to carbon dioxide. So, I know many of you are visual in nature. So this is a computer-aided diagram of the heart. You have the valve up at the top, and this is only half of it. You have the two that are inflowing in, and then it flows up and out. I want you to keep this picture in mind. Etch it in your brain. This is how the heart functions. Are we good to go? Because my notes are on another section.
They are Hebrew people. What do you see? Our Hebrew people, what do you see? The shin. What is the shin? It's God within. So within each of us, he has placed in our hearts a shin, which means he is inside us from the moment of our conception.
Believe it or not, you have tag team sermons going on here. Thank you, my love. So the purpose for the heart is reoxygenating our blood. It's because oxygen is needed to burn the fuel, the sugars and the fatty acids in our cells to produce energy. In other words, it's not just the food that fuels you, but it's the process, the sense of the cessation. We require oxygen to live. We have to breathe it in, but then what does the body do with it? It comes into the lungs, and then the lungs is connected to the heart, and the heart takes the oxygen, pumps the oxygen into the blood, distributes the blood throughout the body, and oxygenates the entire body. So what I'm sharing with you should give greater clarity to Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourselves. For it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. What happens when we stop breathing? The heart stops. The blood stops flowing, and it starts congealing almost immediately. How about Hebrews 9:13-14? For some of you are thinking, he got to Hebrews 9:14 again. How does he keep doing that? For if sprinkling ceremonial unclean persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer restores their outward purity, then how much more the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God as a sacrifice without blemish, will purify our conscience from works that lead to death so that we can serve the living God. How much more the blood of Messiah that will bring us to not just life, but eternal life. The heart pumps life through the body. The very life that was first breathed into us when we were created by Adonai. Genesis 2:6-7. A mist went up from the earth, which watered the entire surface of the ground. Then Adonai God formed the person from the dust of the ground, for which I will construe as more mud than dust, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being. This is the life that continues in us to this day. Think of it as that first breath. And when you're resuscitating someone, when they've stopped breathing, once they have that first breath, then they can start breathing on their own. God didn't resuscitate us. He, in essence, brought us to life initially. So just what is the heart of the body of Messiah? If he is the body, what is his heart? The body of Messiah exists as a result of the new covenant, a covenant made with Israel and the Jewish people, whom have been given the responsibility of transmitting it, the new covenant, to the world. So this new covenant, though given to Israel and the Jewish people, is the means by which Adonai is performing tikkun olam, restoration of the world. What does the new covenant promise? We are going to go to a few different places here. The first is Ezekiel. Speaking to Israel, the prophet of Ezekiel conveys this message of Adonai to the nation. Ezekiel 36:24-25. For I will take you, from among the nations, gather you from all the countries and return you to your own soil. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. In other words, what's he saying? I will regather you from the lands and immerse you, mikvah, and cleanse you from your transgression. This is God's action. His promise of this new covenant. Verse 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit that will reside in you. I called him the first heart transplant specialist. He's been doing it for centuries before the first one was done in the 80s. Verse 37. I will put my spirit inside you and cause you to live by my laws, respect my rulings and obey them. So if Messiah is the body, what is the Ruach HaKodesh? But the blood that flows through the body, providing it life, distributing life through the whole body. And yet we still have not answered the question as to what is the heart of the body of Messiah. So we have the body of Messiah. We have the blood flowing through the heart that is the new spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So let's continue. Jeremiah 31. What does it say about a fresh heart? Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I have made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though for my part I was a husband to them, says Adonai. Here's the key verse, verse 33. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Adonai will put his Torah within them and write them on their hearts. This is a promise of a new covenant. Adonai took the old stony heart and replaced it with a new heart, a fresh piece of parchment, and writes his Torah on it. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. We're only going to look at the first two verses, and then I'm going to go on. Therefore, there is no longer any condemnation awaiting those who are in union with the Messiah, Yeshua. Who are in union with Messiah. To be in union with Messiah is to be with him. In other words, the body of Messiah has to be with him. Why, Shaul asks? Because the Torah of the Spirit, which produces this life in union with Messiah Yeshua, has set us free from the Torah of sin and death. So let me take a step back for a minute, because I need to address something. Because this verse, verse 2, gets taken out of context continually by believers. The Torah of sin and death is not the law of Moses, as some have understood this verse to convey. The Torah of sin and death is the counterfeit of the adversary. Some teach the following. Yeshua gave us a good Torah of the Spirit, which produces life, in contrast to the bad Mosaic law that produces sin and death. First off, these are Shaul's words. But what I just read to you is more theological, man's interpretation of Scripture. So if man's interpreting Scripture, then he's ignoring Shaul's very own words. Because just a few verses before, Romans 7:12, he says, so the Torah is holy. That is, the commandment is holy, just, and good. So how do you get to the Torah of sin and death is the Mosaic Torah, when just a few verses before he says otherwise? So let me read you something from David Stern's commentary. How do we address this? The right answer, he writes, is that the Torah of the Spirit is the Mosaic law properly apprehended by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh in believers. What Shaul elsewhere calls the Torah, the Torah's true meaning, which the Messiah upholds. So if the Messiah upholds it, and in verse 1 of Romans 8, he says we're to be in union with the Messiah, and he upholds the law, the Torah of Moses, what does that mean? It can't be anything else but. This is what gets written on your heart. Verse 3 of Romans 8. for what the Torah could not do by itself because it lacked the power to make the old nature cooperate. Remember that old nature I was talking about earlier? God did by sending his own son as a human being with a nature like our own sinful one, but without sin. God did this in order to deal with sin, and in so doing, he executed the punishment against sin in human nature, so that the just requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not run our lives according to what our old nature wants, but according to what the Spirit wants. So here you have the Spirit of God flowing through the body of Messiah, through the arteries of the body of Messiah, like the blood that flows through us, oxygenating us, providing us with life. The Torah of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Adonai, is written on our hearts, and as part of the promise is the heart of the body of Messiah, for which the Ruach HaKodesh flows through this new heart, oxygenating the body of Messiah with life, thus enabling us to fulfill the just requirements of Torah. Is everybody with me? That diagram that you saw, which Sherry talked about, the shin being part of you, that God has in essence put that into you, that he's in there, that his very word is written on your heart, Jeremiah 31, that the Spirit of God flows through the heart, that new heart, oxygenating the rest of the body. The body has to breathe. As the body breathes, the oxygen should flow through. Comes down from the lungs into the heart and out of the heart into the rest of the body. So let me share a few more things with you. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your mitzvot. I treasure your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. This is long before Yeshua, long before Jeremiah. But this is a promise of the new covenant. We are to treasure his word in our heart. We are to protect it. We are to live by it. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1. This will take a little bit of time, but have patience with me because there's a reason for it. My son, don't forget my teaching. Keep my commandments in your heart. For they will add to you many days, years of life and peace. Here is that connection to God's word and life again. Yet where is it in the body of Messiah? Stay tuned, I'm getting there. Do not let grace and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and esteem in the sight of God and of people. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. Bookmark those two analogies. Trust God with all your heart, but don't rely on your own understanding. We're going to get to that at the end. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he will level your paths. Don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Adonai and turn from evil. This will bring health to your body and give strength to your bones. Honor Adonai with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your income. Then your granaries will be filled and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, don't despise Adonai's discipline or resent his reproof. For Adonai corrects those he loves like a father who delights in his son. Happy the person who finds wisdom, the person who acquires understanding. For her profit exceeds that of silver. Gaining her is better than gold. She is more precious than pearls. Nothing you want can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, riches and honor in her left. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who grasp her. Whoever takes hold of her will be happy. Sound familiar? But keeping in mind, those promises are all based on verse 1. My son, don't forget my teaching. Keep my commandments in your heart. Proverbs 3:17 and 18 are the past going collecting $200. Proverbs 3:1 is the start, but you have to start before you can pass go again. You must grasp onto the teaching of Adonai, that is, grasp onto His Word, for it is a tree of life, a tree by which we live by, a tree that ultimately produces fruit. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 5. We were singing the song of Ezekiel and the dry bones becoming flesh. Keeping in mind, that's another passage. But here is something comparable. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 5. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. Then Adonai your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children, so that you will love Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being, and thus you will live. This is a promise of the new covenant before Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. God knew what was going to happen. Yet He prepares them. Adonai your God will put all these curses on your enemies, on those who hated and persecuted you. But you will return and pay attention to what Adonai says and obey all His mitzvot, which I am giving you today. Then Adonai your God will give you more than enough in everything you set out to do. The fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your land will all do well. For Adonai will once again rejoice to see you do well, just as He rejoiced in your ancestors. However, all this happens only if you pay attention to what Adonai your God says, so that you obey His mitzvot and regulations, which are written in this book of the Torah. If you turn to Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being, keeping in mind, think of it this way. You have the Torah scroll, which we have here, and you have our heart here, and the two of them are separate, yet they are required to operate and function together. What did He do? He brought them both together, so there is no gap, there is no space between them. Verse 11, for this mitzvah, which I am giving you today, is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky, so that you need to ask, who will go up into the sky for us, bring it to us and make us hear it, so that we can obey it. These verses undermine the notion that is typically conveyed. Well, it was impossible to do all of the law, all of Torah. Therefore, we need a Messiah. Right here, he says it's not impossible. It's not impossible then. It's less impossible today. Verse 14, on the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. Look, I am presenting you today with, on the one hand, life and good, and on the other hand, death and evil. In that I am ordering you today to love Adonai your God, to follow His ways, and to obey His mitzvot, regulations, and rulings. For if you do, you will live and increase your numbers, and Adonai your God will bless you in the land you are entering in order to take possession of it. It was the same promise then as it is today. We see this happening as we speak. Deuteronomy 30 is another component of the new covenant and the promise he made through the covenant at Sinai. What does Yeshua say about his body? Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 33. When the crowds heard how he taught, they were astounded. But when the Pharisees learned that he had silenced the Zedukim, the Sadducees, they got together. And one of them, who was a Torah expert, asked him a question to trap him. Rabbi, which of the mitzvot in the Torah is the most important? He told them, you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Does this sound familiar? Deuteronomy 6. This is the greatest and most important mitzvah, Yeshua said. And a second one is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18. He wasn't fooled. This idea of loving God with all your heart. The body of Messiah is to love God with all its heart. The heart, in essence, comes from God. Remember in chapter 8, in verse 1 of Romans, it said we are to be in union with Messiah. Hence, the body of Messiah is to emulate that which Messiah conveys. So we're getting close to the end here. Adonai has given us a new heart, a fresh parchment, and written his Torah on it. Placing it inside us, he has equipped us with the Ruach HaKodesh, the very life that was breathed in us when we were first created. And today, we as believers are being oxygenated by the Ruach HaKodesh flowing through us, just as the blood in our bodies flows through us. And it is the Word of God, the Word of Adonai, his Torah, that provides that oxygen so that we may live, that we may have life in its fullest measure. And yet, the heart of the body of Messiah, the Torah, the Word of Adonai, as promised, resides in everyone within the body of Messiah. And yet, it is truly not fully functioning at its optimal level. The term for that, I believe, and health experts, you might want to correct me, the body of Messiah has an arrhythmia. If a heart's not operating at its optimal level, something's wrong with it. But it's not the heart that's the issue here. It can't be heart disease in that Adonai has just given us a new heart. If it's heart disease, then what he's given us is flawed. It can't be that, because anything and everything that Adonai does is good. The only thing it can be is a restriction in the flow of the blood that provides oxygen to the rest of the body. In other words, the body is oxygen deprived, in that the flow of spirit of the Spirit is being restricted. It is only when the body stops restricting the flow of the Ruach HaKodesh will the body of Messiah truly function in optimal peak performance. So what causes restricted blood flow in the human heart? One such cause is plaque buildup in the arteries, thus narrowing the arteries for which the blood flows. As a result of restricted blood flow, the blood is starved for oxygenated blood and therefore becomes greatly impacted. Is everybody still with me? Probably wondering, I think I need a medical school degree for this sermon. The disease process is called arterial sclerosis. When blockages develop in the coronary arteries, the restricted blood flow results in a lack of oxygen to the heart muscle. This condition is known as coronary artery disease. So the issue isn't the heart, but it's the arteries within the body. Insufficient blood flow to the heart muscle can lead to symptoms of chest pain. Angina is the common term. So in diagnosing the matter, what is the plaque buildup restricting the flow of the Ruach HaKodesh? What is the plaque buildup in the body of Messiah? In the simplest term, theology. Man's understanding and therefore teaching of Scripture. Not what Scripture says, but man's interpretation of it. What's the remedy? Shaul, he's a rabbi, but he also seems to be a bit of a physician as well. He has the remedy for us. In Galatians chapter 2, this is what afflicted him. For it was through letting the Torah speak for itself that I died to its traditional legalistic misrepresentations or misinterpretation. In other words, legalistic misinterpretation, theology. So that I might live in direct relationship with God. What did he do? He had an angioplasty of theology. The balloon went in, cleared the arteries, and got rid of the theology that he grew up with, that he was taught. When the Messiah was executed on the stake as a criminal, verse 20, I was too, so that my proud ego no longer lives, but the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in my body, I live by the same faithfulness that the Son of God had, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not reject God's gracious gift, for if the way in which one attains righteousness is through legalism, then the Messiah's death was pointless. Some of you have gone through angioplasty here. Some of you have blood flowing through you like you've never had it flow before. Some of you have more oxygen that you don't know what to do with. So what do? You offer more praise to God. Keeping in mind, we are the body of Messiah, and the promise of the new covenant is that he will write his words on us, on what? On a new heart. A new parchment, a new scroll that resides in us, and that heart constantly pumps, taking oxygen in from the lung and then flowing and then spreading it out through the arteries and the veins to where you will have life like you've never had it before. So if everybody will please rise.